We focus upon our Old Testament lesson, specifically the fourth verse of chapter 6. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. What shall I do with you? A very common expression, and one that you who are parents and all of us who are children have heard many times. It's the kind of expression that shows the frustration that a parent might have with a disobedient, even recalcitrant child. What shall I do with you? Perhaps at least the thought of a Greek or Hebrew instructor to the student who still confuses an ayin with an aleph or doesn't know a gimel from a lambda, now turning into the final week of the term with the day of recompense and wrath looming large on the horizon. What shall I do with you? When God says these words, when God is at his wit's end, it is much more serious business. Consider the situation in Israel in our text. The prophet Hosea delivers the words, Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. Ah, yes, I will rend and go away. I will carry off and none shall rescue. Hosea was hardly a herald of glad tidings. But what was the problem? In the historical context, Israel was very much under the influence, if not control, of the Assyrians under Tiglath-Pileser III. And a bit lightheaded with her own self-confidence, and encouraged by the momentary distraction of the Assyrians by the Medes in the east, Israel united with Syria in a momentary but rather ill-fated attempt at rebellion and independence. But theologically, much more was at stake. For in this action, Israel showed that she no longer was trusting in the Lord, in Yahweh who had delivered this people and given them their land in the first place. For these people were not in charge of their own destinies. They were not lord of their own lives. They were not even in charge of their own country. God was. And that's gospel, not law. But as is so often the case with sinful man, the people of Israel misunderstood and misapplied God's covenant grace. She trusted not in her Lord, but in her own ability to make political treaties, to be involved in the ways of the world, to forget about the God who had given them this land. And they reduced God's covenant love to a series of ritual and formalistic things which they could do, which made them think that now everything was fine with God. And the Lord God cries to the prophet Hosea, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? You have transgressed my covenant. You have dealt faithlessly with the faithful God. For I desire steadfast love and not just sacrifice. I want the knowledge of God and all that word implies, to know God, to have an intimate relationship with him. And I don't just want burnt offerings. Sacrifices and burnt offerings are certainly a part of the knowledge of God, but hardly a substitution for it. Yes, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? and how analogous this situation is. Not just to the millions of people in our world today who have no knowledge of the true God at all, but also to many of those who know something about God but still misunderstand and misapply his covenant love and mercy for us. Those who bring their tithes and their offerings and their sacrifices, and every congregation has them. Those for whom it is much easier to write a check than to change a heart, who go through the rituals of being a Christian, but without the attitude of being a child of God. Or how about those within the apparent household of faith who still do not understand God's grace? Your evangelism callers can tell you many happy and yet somewhat tragic stories of people who have been in the church all their lives and now for the first time have realized the full meaning of God's riches at Christ's and not our expense. Or how about those who are still trusting in themselves, in their ability to be Lord of their life, who do not put Jesus Christ as Lord, who think that they are in control of their destinies and can make it on their own in this world and the next? Or how about you and me? The times we trust in ourselves and our abilities, the times we simply go through the motions of doing the things Christians and, yes, pastors are supposed to do. When pastors become less the clay pots holding that precious truth and more like crockpots or even crackpots. When we who need to understand so clearly the truth of God's grace also need to be reminded that we walk humbly before God in repentance and confession. That we don't organize the bustling parish, that we don't straighten out people's lives, that we can't lead a single person to Christ save for the grace of God and his covenant love for us. Yes, what shall I do with you, God may ask us once in a while. For whenever we square off against the pig-glass pleasers of our day, when we make unholy alliances with powers other than God, when we trust in ourselves and not in him, then we too fall under the same indictment pronounced by the prophet Hosea upon Ephraim and Judah. And when our response to God's love is as ephemeral as the morning dew which passes early away, when we take up the spirit of theological harlotry and chase after the skirt tails of anything that comes along, wishing for the virtues and vices and vanities of this world, then God comes to us and says, I will return again to my place. I'll leave you alone. Until you acknowledge your guilt, and in your distress you seek me, saying, come, let us return to the Lord. Yet now, suddenly, we realize that Hosea is speaking good news. For his call of judgment is really a call to repentance. Come, let us turn, return, repent to the Lord our God in confession and all humility. For after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Sounds like justification and sanctification, doesn't it? And we of the new covenant are reminded immediately of another such period of time when after 2 days God revived the dead and on the third day raised up the very basis of our faith, the fulfillment of the covenant, the new covenant in Jesus Christ, the means by which we have forgiveness, the means by which we can turn back to God, the means by which we may live before Him. Yes, let us know, let us have that knowledge of God and all that it implies. Let us press on to know the Lord, for His going forth is as sure as the dawn, before which it always seems darkest. But the dawn which shines forth in glory and truth and light and covenant love and mercy, refreshing us with that living water from heaven as the spring rains that water the earth. Yes, what shall I do with you, God asks? I shall forgive you, save you, redeem you, revive you, restore you. Though you forsake me and turn away and are as unfaithful as the harlot, my covenant marriage to you is much stronger than even your incessant spiritual adultery. Though your love fades as the morning dew, mine is as sure as the dawn itself. For though I can tear down, I will also build up. Though I will strike, I will also bind and heal. I will have pity on those who deserve no pity, and those who are not my people shall be my people, and I shall be their God. Come, let us return to the Lord in repentance and humility, trusting in the God of the old and now new covenant, sealed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.